That's my sermon this morning. A young woman was walking down the streets of Nairobi. I come from Kenya. Nairobi is the capital city of Kenya. And this is a real story. She was walking down the street with a little mini skirt, feeling nice and very okay with herself. But down the street, she met a group of men who stripped her naked because they didn't like that she was in this miniskirt. So the following day, the human rights activists were out on the streets with banners, and the banners said, "My dress, my choice." And the church all over the world struggles in getting enough resources. Due to many factors, but one factor that stands out in many of our congregations is the unspoken slogan, "My money, my choice." So more often people give towards things that make them feel good or happy. When church members do not feel convinced that their money is going to impact institutions or projects or programs or people, they are likely to glorify the slogan, "My money, my choice." My goal here as a recipient of peers' money for ICCM children in Rwanda is to uphold your generosity and commitment as a game changer in the lives of the children in Rwanda. I feel like Piers has coined a different slogan, and that slogan says, "God's choice, my choice." That's what I feel like you are doing. But I want us to go deeper a little bit and look at, it's not just your choice. This is God's choice that you want to see. So what makes you show greater love? What makes you become a Christian that has a mark that is different? When you walk down the streets of New York, can people look at you from the outside and say, "Oh, this one is a Christian"? Maybe not. But there is one fundamental thing that we can all show as a mark of Christianity, and that is love. It is not the crosses that we put on our buildings, or the jewelry that we wear that have crosses or hearts, or the emojis we send one another to say, "I love you." Those are good. But showing your Christian love comes from doing and going an extra mile for your brother and your sister. So I would like us to read the passage in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, 10 to 18. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not know, who does not do what is right, is not the child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil, and because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possession and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions. What marks a good Christian is love. And there are three things that I want us to talk about through this passage. One is, what is the foundation of love? It is from the beginning. The Bible says in verse 10 to 12, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. It is not a sideshow. It has been there since the beginning. The founder of love is God himself. He knows love. He understands love. He is love. He is the true evidence of love. He does not change. This message is not new. It says it's been there from the beginning. It is to be observed by all and fulfilled by all. God set an example for us in the beginning. He sent his one and only begotten Son to die for our sins. He gave us that love we call agape love, loving unconditionally. We are to love one another without regard to how they treat us. Well, this is easier said than done, but with God, it is possible. Our failure to love opens doors for murder. And you can imagine how God compares those who love to people who give life, and those who do not love to people who are murderers. We may murder those we do not love by despising them, ignoring them, rejecting them, offending them, dismissing them. The weapon that gives life is love, but the weapon that kills our brothers is the lack of love. This message we've heard from the beginning, John chapter 15, verse 12 and 14. Jesus kind of shows us this is the commandment: love one another. In the same way, I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, to lay down your life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. You know, a few months ago, I was sitting in my house, and it was early morning, about 6. I heard my neighbor upstairs, like, hitting something. And I could hear a child crying, but the child wasn't crying with a big voice. And it went on for about 7 minutes. I said, no, I have to go. So I walked up the stairs in my nightgown, and I knocked, and she wouldn't open the door. And I just kept knocking. So when she opened the door, I just went and hugged her and said, Mama, you seem to be very angry. And she just sat down on her couch, and she began to weep. And I found out that she was hitting the child because the child didn't clean her uniform. Can you imagine? An 11-year-old didn't wash her uniform, and so the mother was hitting her with a huge stick. And later on, I talked to the girl, and I said, why weren't you crying loudly so that you would attract attention, so people will come to your rescue? And she said, because my mama said, if I yell, if I cry, and people hear that, she will kill me. But I was glad that I went that morning, and the Lord used that opportunity to stop something that would have been worse. Today, as we speak, that mama is my disciple. I am walking with her to help her realize what love is. I would have chosen to just sit in my house and say, that doesn't concern me. That doesn't bother me. Oh man, this file. But it doesn't matter. For God, it's not about you concerning you. It's a matter that concerns God. We need to step up, rescue our children, our neighbors, family members from some abuse of something that may be destroying them. Love, loving others means taking risks. The other thing that we see in this passage is the proof. What is the proof of love? What proves that actually you love? It proves we have passed from death to life, verse 13 to 15. Love gives us a license to eternal life. A Christian's life is measured by their ability to love, because through love, they find life and evade death. There is evidence that when you love people, others who don't love will hate you, just like Cain and Abel. Do you have people in this church? Or you may have people in this church, and even in the Greater Free Methodist Church, I know for a fact, who will not like the way you are loving others. And they will question, why are we having a connected community? Why are we going to Zije when we have neighbors who have this? They will wonder. They will question, just like Canaan was wondering why is Abel favored? You have to keep pursuing the greatest love, loving your brothers like Jesus did. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. And that's what I like about your partnership with Nzije. You have passed from death to life by loving them and showing them love in a very significant way. It should, however, be pointed out that our spiritual life does not result from loving our fellow Christians. Loving our brothers and sisters is proof of, not the basis of, our spiritual life. It proves that you love, you care about another person as a Christian. Love, therefore, becomes the outcome of our faith. What do you believe? When you believe in what Jesus Christ did for you, you are more likely to show the same to others. It proves your faith. When you don't love, it's like you are questioning Jesus' love for your own life, like you don't actually believe it. We stop being self-seeking and self-righteous. Instead, we share the joy of our salvation without barrier. I grew up, my father was alcoholic, and my mom was a local brewer. And my dad was very, very abusive. And he would hit us, he would hit my mom. We would stay in the bananas at night because he would just beat us senselessly. And over the years, when I was about 7 years, I just saw hate. There was no love at home. My mom, as a local brewer, she would feed us part of the brew to put us to sleep so we wouldn't be asking for food. And at 7 years old, an auntie came to visit, and she looked at the situation and she felt pity for me. She took me out of that situation to her home. Not because she had lots of money, no, but her home was safe. And that's who I am today, because somebody laid down their life for me. We have to try our level best to lay down our lives for others. And what you are doing for the children in Zije, they will give testimonies. They would never have seen the day of light, light of day, if somebody didn't sponsor them and make them who they are today. And the last thing I want to talk about is the model of love. Our model of love is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one showing us the example of what we need to do. He laid down his life for our sins, not because we were the best. Well, history gives us great examples of mothers and fathers who have braved fires, rescued their children from burning houses, raging waters, pulling them from ferocious animals. We have politicians who have died for our causes. But no one has died for the unrighteous man like Jesus did. He is the ultimate example. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Love means the readiness to do anything for other people. It indicates that one person is laying down their life for the other. Piers has set an example in Rwanda, and hopefully you are setting the same in your neighborhood. How do you do that? By becoming truly concerned about the needs of our Christian brothers and sisters, by unselfishly giving your time, your efforts, your prayers, your possession to supply the needs of those in need. And I want to finish by giving you one story you all may know. One time, the pig and the chicken were best of friends, and they were courting one another, getting ready to get married. They walked down the street holding hands, and they see these children in the street who don't have food, they don't have shelter. And the chicken says, honey, I think when we get married, we should do something about these children. And the pig says, I agree. I think I like the idea. And the pig says, so honey, what do you think we will do? And the chicken says, oh, that's easy. I will give eggs every morning for the children. And you will give the sausages. And it dawned on the pig that it won't be living very long. The moral of the story is this. Sometimes we take on things that are convenient for us. It is very convenient for the chicken to lay eggs. Very convenient. There's a little pain, but that is its nature. It just lays eggs. It takes commitment and sacrifice, even death, for the pig to give sausages. Many a times, our love for other people comes out of convenience. Oh, that's easy to do. From my leftover offering, oh, from my spare time, you know. My time is scheduled in this way. It's family, and then family, and then family, then church. Or my work is more important. So let those who have time do it. Greater love is about commitment. When we talk about commitment, I know there are people in this congregation who have committed, not 1 year, maybe 11 years until the kids they are sponsoring will be out of school. But there are people who can only do what is convenient, that is natural, that doesn't pain them, that doesn't cost them. Greater love is about commitment and dedication, sacrifice, giving your all in all. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless Pierce. Thank you very much.